Oh yeah, I still have my metronome on because I was working on some music stuff not too long ago. Yeah, I've recorded most things in my life not to a click.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made like a ton of like electronic music that was all to a click.
Mm-hmm.
And like never in my life have I succeeded in like merging the two disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a huge pain in my ass. Like I have some friends in a couple of really cool bands like Fluffer. They were really great. They did an excellent job of like merging Ableton loops and effects pedals and guitars and drums and like digital drums and all that shit. And I was always in complete awe of them because when I tried to play along to a click, I don't know if I just like wasn't disciplined enough or what, but I'd fuck it up every time.
That does seem really hard, yeah, to like play, because it's like the click is just the click. It's a robot. And then as soon as you're playing live, you know, I personally don't play in a band, but I know like whenever I've seen Bryn's band play, they often like play their songs a little faster when mm-hmm. they're live, because you're in front of a crowd and the energy is high and you just like start going faster.
Yeah.
And other humans can like follow along with you, but the robot just is unfeeling.
Right. You got that like fucking adrenaline mode. Mm-hmm. I would get so anxious in front of crowds, like even a crowd of like 6 people in a basement.
Sure.
I'd be like, oh man, what if I fuck these songs up? And then I end up playing the songs at 130% speed. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, okay, that's a great way to fuck the song up. you know, that's an yeah. excellent way to set yourself up for failure.
What if I make it harder for myself and I can't actually, I have to be even more precise to play things correctly at a faster yeah. speed?
Well, speaking of making things harder for yourself, I think I told this story on the other pod already, but I've been using this Zoom, whatever it is, H6 field recorder as my interface for a while, on and off now for a couple years. And it has a jack on the front that I was using as a headphone jack.
Mm-hmm.
That's the line out.
Oh.
The headphone jack is on the side. And plugging my headphones into the actual headphone jack instead of the line out jack, like instantaneously solved every problem I've ever had with this interface.
Because the line out's like a little quieter than the headphone jack or
something? It's quieter. It's noisier.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's meant to be sent to like a soundboard.
Yeah.
Not a pair of unpowered headphones.
Mm-hmm. Not a person's head.
Yeah, exactly. So now I finally got my head right because I got it plugged into the right jack. There's mm-hmm. there's a metaphor for responsible drug use in there yeah. somewhere.
You got to get the right, if you're smoking mid, that's like meant for a person, but like, you right. know, cop shit is meant to like, it's more noisy. It's more, it's meant for a cop. It's not meant for a human being. It's meant for a pig.
You're trying to absorb these awful cop energies from the cop weed, and it's too much for you, my friends. It's mm-hmm. definitely the fent of weed. I mean, why do you think cops always freak out so much? You know, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, there was fentanyl dust in the air within 30 yards of this police officer who was walking around outside. He almost died. He was in convulsions for 19 days. And it's just like...
Wasted.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm just like, I don't think that happens, but maybe it does. Maybe that's like, that's the different mm-hmm. brain biology of cops.
Yeah, right? They take a hit of cop shit, and that's basically like touching fentanyl to them. Like,
yes.
Their body is launched off the ground. They're into convulsions instantly. they eat every Krispy Kreme in the office in 10 seconds because they're so stoned.
That's right. Speaking of eating every Krispy Kreme in the office in 10 seconds because you're so stoned, this is your beep beep lettuce for the week, everybody. We haven't even done a fucking intro on the show in like a month. So I thought, I was listening to some other podcasts and I was like, wow, they introduced themselves.
yeah, I definitely have that thought sometimes that I'm like, we're on episode like 150 something. So the fans don't want to hear us intro it, but like we're probably getting new fans pretty often and they might come in and be like, what's going on with this one? I mean, I assume it's fun. You know, they get drawn into the chaotic energy immediately. But right. occasionally, it's good to just say hi and say, it's Beep Beep. I'm Chris, and that's John, and we're talking to you.
That's right. We're talking to you this week about a few things, some serious, some not so much.
Mm-hmm.
What's this thing about the Cuomo Corruption Network, the CCN, as it's called?
Oh, yeah, shit. It's two C's and one N. Damn, I thought I had something there. The Cuomo Network of Nepotism. Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
It's just a news story that Chris Cuomo was using his media sources to find out info on Andrew Cuomo's accusers. So, you know, a blatant conflict of interest of, like, supposedly, you know, being a neutral reporter of the news. I don't really know if CNN actually, like, purports to be neutral, but I'm sure they, like, have some veneer of, like, neutrality and, like, respectability. And
within, like, the liberal paradigm, CNN is supposed to be, like, as neutral as you can get.
I think so, yeah.
I guess they lean a little towards the Democrats, but, like, one, who cares? And also, two, it's like, if you want to get any more, like, quote unquote, like, liberally neutral, you got to be C-SPAN, where you just show up and stick a camera in the room and you're like, okay, this is news now.
Yeah, C-SPAN, it's like they show up and then, like, take a nap while the camera goes. And it's like, we're just recording what's happening. It's a documentary about Washington.
I bet the jobs at C-SPAN are fucking banging. If they pay at all good, like, you just show up and then you eat snacks quietly in the other room for a few hours.
Like, now, that's interesting. Like, is C-SPAN, like, the equivalent of your old job at the parking lot or whatever, where it's like, you just show up and, like, occasionally someone comes up and is like, hey, my news isn't working right. And you're like, oh, let me help you with that. And you tinker with it. And you're like, there you go. Have your news. And mostly you're just playing video games.
Yeah. Watching C-SPAN at my parents' house really closely with the volume blaring, because I think in the background I can hear the click of a console controller just, like, furiously being played.
Yeah. It's a new conspiracy theory that it's like, if you slow down and, like, isolate the right audio of C-SPAN, you can clearly tell someone's playing Counter-Strike.
Right. So, speaking of conspiracy, so there was kind of a conspiracy here between these two brothers, Mario and Luigi Cuomo. Mm-hmm. And they're just, you know, they're two Italian boys who had to look out for each other, you know, damn the law, damn any kind of political conscience. And I don't know, it's hard for me to even be surprised by this shit anymore, because it's like, I mean, if I made a TV show and these guys were in it, I'd be like, they should do some corruption stuff. I think that would be that would really engage the audience.
Like, yeah. I mean, look at them. Like, they're super Italian. They're kind of smug. They're condescending. They're clearly obsessed with their personal brands and their egos. Like, all they're doing when they're not in public is corruption, backroom deals, finding ways to abuse their power. It's all they do, really.
Right. Yeah, it's impossible to think of people who would be, like, any more obviously evil. Like, that's what I don't get about, like, why people enjoy the show Succession. I've harped on this before, and I'll harp on it again now.
Go off.
It's just, if I wanted to watch utterly despicable and unlikable people who are, you know, an active bore and also, like, torturously uninteresting, I could just watch C-SPAN.
Yeah, speaking of C-SPAN. Yeah,
you know, it's like, if I wanted to watch something that went nowhere and nothing happened, but the stakes were as high as possible all the time, I would just audit Congress. I'd just stand at the back of the room, you know?
Yeah. So it doesn't have the vibes, because I haven't watched an episode of the show, and I've heard mostly good things, I feel like.
People,
but it doesn't have the vibes of, like, Sopranos, where you're like, a part of you is like, well, these are bad people, but then another part of you is like, they're kind of funny and charming, and I want to, like, see what happens in their lives. And also, it's sort of interesting what, like, tragically small figures they are.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the problem, is, like, they're not tragically small figures in that show. Like, Sopranos was relatable because these guys were everything at once. They were bad people. They were likable. They were family men. They were, you know, mafiosos. They were wealthier than most people, but they still got jealous of the truly wealthy, right?
Yeah.
And there's just none of that. Like, the people in Succession are above everything.
Right, because they're like billionaires, right? It's kind of based off the Murdoch family, roughly.
I guess, yeah. So I just, it's weird because, like, you know, the politics of the show, like, the whole, like, a huge chunk of the country's economy is at stake in the show.
Okay.
But most of the dialogue is just like, I hate my, you know, asshole brother. I hate my bitch sister. You know, I wish God, people would be nicer to Macaulay Culkin's brother. You know, it's a really odd cast. Yeah, but I don't want to harp too long on that because I've already talked about how much I hate that fucking show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I will continue to not watch it, I guess. Unless I watch it and like it, and then we'll have to disagree.
Yeah, I mean, watch it and see if you like it. People do seem to like it. But speaking of not liking things, I hate to even bring someone like Eve Barlow up on the show. she doesn't deserve any attention, mm-hmm. but I just can't help it. I still do have like 10%. You know, poisoned Twitter brain. Mm-hmm. And this week she was posting about the day that Seth Rogen tweeted the fart emoji at her.
Like a day that will live in infamy. Yeah.
Yeah. The fart emoji heard around the world. And I just, how pathetic do you have to be for this to be your priority? So the exact tweet, the thread here says, Seth Rogen can probably be trusted to advise you on marijuana strains and absolutely nothing else. Seth Rogen doesn't empathize with car theft victims because he is a rich stoned man with security. Seth Rogen attacks Orthodox Jews, Israel, and Jewish women like me who fight anti-Semitism because he is a rich stoned man with security. I love stoned as like a dig, like you're so privileged, you're just high all the time.
Yeah, like it makes a little sense to be like, he's so high, if someone stole his car, he'd be like, nope, don't care. But the idea that it's like, he's stoned, so that's why he attacks Orthodox women.
Yeah.
Like, just a guy with like red eyes, like making fun of a Jewish person. Like, that's the logic here.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just being a stoner is pretty anti-Semitic at this point, right? Because you're engaging in Seth Rogen culture, mm-hmm. which is anti-Zionist. Which is, you know, there's a lot of transitive properties happening here yeah. all at once.
Yeah.
But she continues, Seth Rogen is not living in reality. I'll give you that one, Eve.
Yeah, I mean, neither is she, but Seth Rogen isn't really either.
Yeah, well, hey, neither am I, you know. and then this is the one that I couldn't help but like react to. She says, the day that Seth Rogen tweeted, and then she includes the actual fart emoji, mm-hmm. at me, it was my hate name that trended nationwide on Twitter. Eve Fartlow is a hate name, not his, but I was the butt of this expertly constructed joke by a man with decades of experience as a celebrated Hollywood asset, a fart emoji, which is like, I don't even know what she's trying to say at any point along this. Like, the hate name thing is funny enough, but it's like, are you trying to say he is an expert comedian?
Right.
Or that he's not really an expert comedian.
Or is she saying that it's like Hollywood celebrates his joke writing skills,
right.
but this is all he's got, which is like, Hollywood has, like, how often are Hollywood comedies actually highbrow? Like, they've always had fart jokes in them. Well, I'm sure, like, the fart joke is universal.
I get tired of Seth Rogen's, like, relatively one-note shtick as much as anybody.
Sure, yeah.
But like, he knows what he's doing. When mm-hmm. Seth Rogen makes a movie and you go see a Seth Rogen movie, you know exactly what you're going to see.
Mm-hmm. You know you who you're getting, you know what you're getting, you know, like, what kind of drugs will be consumed. It's going to be weed and
yes.
most likely nothing else. I don't really think,
yeah.
has he ever like done coke in a movie? I feel like he barely ever drinks in a movie. He's just got a bong or a pipe in his hand. He's high. He's dicking around.
I think he's one of those guys who just, he probably has a thing about it, right? He's like, I would really prefer showing myself, you know, smoking weed as opposed to doing anything else. Cause he's probably like, I don't want to encourage anybody to do anything that would be bad for their health.
Mm-hmm.
So they should smoke weed, which is like, you know, it's the old meme where it's like, guy who drank last night throwing up in the toilet, guy who smoked weed last night, and it's Snoop Dogg waking up in the bathtub like ready to party again.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great meme. That's very true, especially as you get older. Like when you're mm-hmm. in your 20s, you're like, yeah, drinking weed, they both are cool. And then you're in your 30s and you're like, drinking, I'm definitely like taking out a debt on tomorrow to have fun right now. Weed, yeah. I'm just vibing.
I used to buy 24 beers at a time because I didn't want to have to go back to the beer store in, you know, a day and get more beer. So that'd be enough beer for a few days. And now I buy a 6-pack and a 12-pack of Arizona iced teas.
Mm-hmm.
And I get, you know, some seltzers. And I actually got another 12-pack of Arizona, just a different kind.
There you go. You're sitting pretty.
Yeah. Speaking of sitting pretty, I want to talk about a fella who is not sitting pretty.
Who's
a fella
that?
Who died for an important piece of media.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about the man who tried to bring, how do you pronounce it? Squad Game?
Squad Game? It's based on, it's about squatting up with your esports team.
Okay. It's about four man teams in Victory Royale games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, that's not even a good joke because Squid Game is literally Victory Royale. Fuck,
oh, I guess it is.
About.
Yeah. It basically is. It's like esports made real.
It's like, you know, evil Fortnite. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, everybody's doing the Squid Game shit now too. Like Mr. Beast did that thing where he's like, real life Squid Game. And I'm
Mr.
like,
Mr. Beast made Squid Game real. Yeah. That is very funny.
This misses the point entire. Well, it's also like really like Mr. Beast is pretty dystopian to me.
Yeah.
He has a fucking like Uber Eats chain that's just like places without a storefront that are called like Mr. Beast Burger.
Yeah, I discovered that like a few months ago or something. Bryn was like wanted to get a burger on Grubhub and ordered it, and I was like, oh, Mr. Beast Burger? Is that like from the YouTuber? And she was like, oh, I don't know. I think it's just a chain. And I looked it up and it was like, oh, he just like has a burger chain?
Yeah.
It's really strange.
He launched strange it like branch. In the middle of the pandemic. And of course he was like, I'm doing philanthropy. I'm going to help people get their burgers during the fucking bad pandemic season. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much that really helps. And then there was, you know, predictably like Minecraft and like Fortnite Squid Game events have all been held and shit. But now we have... The article that sparked it all, because there have been a bunch of articles going around that all say that this guy tried to smuggle this movie into the country and he was killed over it. And they all come back to this article from Radio Free Asia, noted wing of the CIA.
Mm-hmm. You can always trust them. That's why everyone reprints what they say without checking it at all.
Well, and this also contradicts reports that we had been getting prior to this, which is that Squid Game is wildly popular in the DPRK. So we already had like news media telling us like people in North Korea have seen this movie and they like it. They think it's a good movie. And then they're telling us like, oh, this guy who smuggled it in, he fucking died. And then we have another article from Business Insider. A North Korea-focused news outlet cast doubt on a viral report that said the Netflix drama Squid Game had been smuggled into the secretive state, leading to a death sentence. NK News sought to debunk a recent story that said smuggled copies of the South Korean hit show were spreading in North Korea. Despite strict censorship of foreign media, the publisher was Radio Free Asia, a U.S. government-funded nonprofit news service focusing on Asian countries, which is like... That's a lot more to the point than I thought a fucking Business Insider article was gonna be.
It really is. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't like say that they're the CIA, but like obviously there's like a layer of plausible deniability between RFA and the CIA,
right?
Like a thin one, but enough that news sources are like, yeah, it's just US funded.
I mean, that's really the pale, isn't it? As you can say, it's like US government funded and everybody's like, well, it's probably impartial then. But if you say it's like funded by an intelligence agency, everybody's like, well, it's probably not impartial then. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Who do you think funds the intelligence agencies? Right?
Like, yeah. And also, don't you think that in like 60 or 70 years of existence, they figured out a way to like launder money through like a foundation or something? They're not writing checks from the CIA.
Yeah, from CIA to Radio Free Asia, $32 billion, and in the notes section it just says like, keep it up.
Yeah, a Venmo from the CIA for propaganda to hit the bank account yet again.
Yeah, so I mean, they keep trying to do this. You know, it's such a tired bit where they're just like, oh, someone in North Korea was killed for doing something extremely normal. And it's like, no, nobody ever is or was, not any more so than in any other country in the world. So just stop shitting yourself over it. But I want to shit myself over something right now. Remember that article that was going around recently that said Queen Elizabeth is going to be entering into a new phase?
I love that. Every time I see the headline, it makes me laugh. The funniest part to me too is that the full headline is entering a new phase according to royal experts, which means like the royal family isn't even the ones who said it. It was just like, I assume a royal expert is like a 79-year-old British guy in a bow tie. And it makes me laugh thinking about how annoyed the royal family probably is that they're like, we didn't want to say she was entering a new phase, but that's like, if you Google the queen, that's all you'll see is entering a new phase.
That's so funny. And what does it mean according to royal experts? Did you ever suss that out?
Or
does
I never
it
read the article, so I don't really know, but yeah, I don't know. There was like very vague reports that she was like in the hospital or having medical problems. Like she hurt her back, I think. I don't really know.
Okay, so she's a JRPG boss, right? She needed like a hip surgery or something, and she's like, this isn't even my final form.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Like, her health bar has gone down, but then the music's still playing, and you're like, wait, why is her indie health bar appearing? Why is it Queen Ascended now, and she has tentacles?
Yeah, she becomes invulnerable for 30 seconds while she transforms, and it's like, yeah, oh my god, she can fly now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but okay, but on the real, like, what are the chances that she's dead? Because it seems to me, like, this article that we have here, which is titled Beaming Queen Stands Up Tall in One-to-One Meeting with Bank of England Chief. And then it has
Beaming Queen Stands Up Tall. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, what other article would be like talking about someone and that, like, describing just like their body language?
Yes.
Like, beaming.
Beaming Queen Stands Up Tall. Well, because it's all about, like, her personal health, right?
Right.
Like, everyone's concerned about the Queen's health. They have been for decades, because she's been old as fuck since forever.
Yeah, she's, what, 89 now or 90 or something? That's very old.
She's very elderly. And she does not stand tall. She's very short. This Bank of England chief guy, the governor of the Bank of England, he towers over her. And he's not very tall either. But here's the thing. Is that, like, there's just two photos here of them together, and it's like, call me a Queen's new phase truther. I don't believe that she met with the chief of the Bank of England, right? That seems like someone that you could easily get to agree that he met the Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Run a quick Photoshop job, or better yet, just pull up some old photos. Nobody can tell if the Queen is 82 or 89 in these photos.
Yeah, I don't see any like newspapers from today in this photo. In fact, the most prominent thing is an oil painting, which I'm sure is from like the 1800s or something.
Yeah.
And also, they just like stand facing each other, and then they do one little handshake where they're separated, like child's play to Photoshop that together. Also,
and there's no shadows in this photo either. So they have like excellent omnidirectional light happening, or, you know, copy paste.
It is very fun to like just get that conspiratorial and zoom in on the shadows on a JPEG and just be like, yeah, this is not adding up.
Yeah,
but I do have to say,
low res PNG from express.co.uk is making me ask some very important questions.
Hey, not, you know, as someone with bad posture, I don't want to throw any stones, but the Queen is like most noticeably not standing tall. Her neck is like craned forward in the second photo. She's very stooped.
Well, and it's a one-on-one meeting plus a photographer, ostensibly, which is also to me like, okay, you know, she's really doing so good. Have her meet three people.
Yeah.
Make it a harder conspiracy to keep.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why they would want to keep it quiet that the Queen has died, but I do know that it's like, whenever the Queen does die, it's going to be like the biggest media fiasco in Britain, like probably in decades or something.
Well, they're probably like, she's probably dead already, right? Mm-hmm. And they're doing a couple of things. They're running out the clock, and they're waiting for some big other scandal to happen. Something where like a very prominent MP is like implicated in something, or something comes out about various Parliament members during the Ghislaine Maxwell trial.
I was going to say, the Ghislaine Maxwell trial is like starting today.
Yep.
Prince Andrew is possibly going to be implicated. Maybe they're waiting for that bombshell to drop, and then it's like, oh no, the Queen is so devastated by the news that she passed away,
and now
she's not beaming anymore.
And then you can't accuse the royal family of misconduct during this time of grief. How dare you? They're all wearing black veils of, you know, somberness and pensive reflection.
Oh yeah.
If they did anything wrong, which we're not saying they did, they regret it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, whatever happens, it is going to be funny, because I read this like a few years ago that the BBC has a whole plan set up that whenever the Queen dies, they won't air any comedy for, I don't know how long, at least like the day, maybe like a week or a month or something. It's like all, you know, programs are immediately canceled. Because you can't be laughing when the Queen died.
Oh,
how dare
my God.
You laugh?
So they're like, oh no, this lady who would have run the country, but now doesn't, but also still kind of does and holds an outsized amount of power. She died, and that's so terrible. So now we're going to just vacuum money right out of Matt Berry's pockets. We're not going to let Noel Fielding cash a check for a week.
You were going to watch, I don't know the name, but there's a British show where they have to decide if someone's lying when they tell a story, and it's pretty funny. You can't watch that one. You got to wait until after the Queen has come back to life.
Yeah, Richard Iowati better file for unemployment for 5 days because they're not going to be airing any of that shit.
Graham Linnean will continue to not make money because he's ostracized everyone by being such a weird transphobe.
Who's another British comedian? All right,
Stephen Fry will probably do the same thing he's doing. I feel like he hasn't been on TV in a while, although I don't know.
James Corden will be instantly vaporized, which will be unrelated, and everyone will be happier for it.
It'll just be because he stuck a fork in a light socket on the Late Late Show to see what would happen, in quotes. And what happened is that his entire body, something about the size of him, he's so stout, the electricity just bounced around inside of his body at the speed of light, and he vaporized.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I was ready to talk some shit on Seth Rogen earlier in the episode, and I have done before, but I got to give it up for him because he chose weed, right? And Seth Rogen, I feel like without weed, probably would have ended up a James Corden. Just as one note, but without any self-awareness or like fun, like goofy, you know, messy humor. Just the driest, dumbest, most dad shit you could ever possibly... Not even dad humor. Like, James Corden is kind of mom humor, don't you think?
Interesting.
Not that that's
any
worse. They're both pretty equally bad, but I just think you're interesting right, observation.
Yeah, because dad humor is like a bit more self-aware. Dad humor like knows it's stupid. And I don't know. Mom, like, he definitely has like Marge Simpson kind of vibes. Yeah. Like, no self-consciousness that like your jokes really aren't landing.
Yeah.
Just everyone's humoring you.
Well, and designed for like joyless Protestants, right? Really joyless Protestants to be able to laugh at, right? Like,
but not even really laugh, just kind of like, oh yeah, that's funny. Yes. Like people who say that's funny to a show.
Yeah, I agree with the implied racism. Yeah. I mean, that is what it is, pretty much. So we agree, the queen has died.
Oh yeah, she's moldering. They got like a robot or something.
404, crown of England not found. and speaking of something that's millennials' fault, I don't know how to get into this next one. Ridley Scott is mad at my generation of squirrely teenagers who go around influencing ratings on Rotten Tomatoes and telling people not to see The Last Duel. I gotta ask my audience, have any of you even fucking heard of this trash, The Last Duel? Chris, have you heard of this trash?
I have heard of it. I feel like I saw a poster somewhere, and then I also saw some like tweets with images from it, and there's like Matt Damon on a horse, and maybe he has like a mustache, and I think Adam Driver has a mustache too, maybe. There's definitely like some old-timey facial hair. It had vague vibes of like Don Quixote or something. I didn't really know what it was about. I didn't suss that out, but I assume it's some kind of duel.
I mean, Matt Damon and Adam Driver, and you put them in like quasi Game of Thrones ass costumes. It's just like there's You don't have to wonder why everyone's attention just slid off of this like water off a fucking duck's back. It was designed to not be noticed. Adam Driver is in everything. You could edit old movie posters from like the 90s. So they had Adam Driver in them, and I would see them casually and I would not notice. I would say, oh, he was good in that because he's so fucking ubiquitous at this point.
He's just everywhere.
Yeah, like convince me he wasn't a Stark in Game of Thrones.
He definitely could have. He played the baby Stark, and they just like shrunk him down from 6'4" to like 3 feet.
And he was also Theon Greyjoy. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, he was Theon. He played Theon and then not Reek. But then the performance of Reek was so good that everyone just assumed it was what's his name the whole time.
Yeah, they think that's all the same guy. They're fools.
No, it was fucking Adam Driver. Fools. Yeah. Adam Driver has had a weird career, because the first time I saw him was in Girls, and it's like, oh, I guess this guy is kind of like a comedic actor. He plays like a scumbag type guy. I bet he'll do that a lot. You know, like a lot of people are in comedies, you know, like your Seth Rogen types, and then they're in a lot of comedies for a long time. And then it felt like the next thing he was in Star Wars playing a bad guy. And I was like, what? That's not, I wouldn't really expect him to like play a bad guy. And then recently, like you said, he's in this movie. He's in House of Gucci playing like, I think someone in the Gucci fashion design family.
Oh my God.
And, he was in fucking that Marriage Story movie where he's like playing a director. Like, he's always playing different kinds of people, but he's always the same guy. And I just, I don't know. I don't know if he's like miscast exactly because he's a fun actor, but a very strange career. It's like people just kind of latched onto him and put him in everything.
He's a product of algorithms, right? Like I think he's just got that face that is like algorithmic gold. And it what it comes down to is it's a variation on that tweet that was pretty popular recently where it was like, you know, Pete Davidson, Machine Gun Kelly, whatever else. These are the male version of the manic pixie dream girl.
Yeah.
The chaos goblin line cook. And I think Adam Driver is something adjacent to that. He's like the chaos goblin line cook who decided not to get into SoundCloud rap and got an office job instead of a line cook job. But he's still quirky, right? He's like the... Oh gosh, like the modern iteration in some weird way of like what Dimitri Martin and Jason Schwartzman used to be for generation. Does that make any sense?
I think I feel what you're saying, yeah, because Dimitri Martin and Jason Schwartzman were both like, they would wear suits and like wear kind of like, they weren't like schlubby exactly, they'd dress up, but then they'd have their hair long, and then they'd be like, I seem like I'm, you know, a classy dude, but then I'm actually like undercutting everything and I'm like really kind of a rebel, but not really like that rebellious, just like I'm a showbiz entertainer kind of person.
Yeah,
but
they're, like, they're the guy with weed at the office party, right?
Yeah.
Like that's the vibe for me, and maybe it's just because I really like that one show with Ted Danson in it, where this is basically the premise, but it's just like you get, that's the guy who's high at the office.
Yeah.
Right?
And he's the most weird guy in an extremely normal crowd. Where anyone weird, like your line cook chaos goblin guys, like he's a nerd to them, but he's like really cool to the squares. Yeah, yes. Adam Driver does have kind of, where it's just like, it's basically, it's almost just like his face. Like he's big, he's a big dude and he lifts weights and his face is like a little kooky and he grows his hair out. And so like to Hollywood where everyone is like chiseled and square jawed, they're like, wow, this guy's so crazy. He's got a weird nose and like a weird face and he's like a little loud sometimes. He's like the craziest guy I've ever met.
He is too. He's like an awkwardly jacked dude. He's like, if you've ever known like a nerd from high school who grew up and got into lifting or like went into the military or something and got real jacked, but he never got that like some dudes get jacked and they look like a tree.
Sure.
You know, they're just thick, just a thick boy.
Yeah.
Adam Driver is not a thick boy. He's still a lean boy. He's just like a ripply lean boy, and I guess that's in now, which is great for me because I'm not a ripply lean boy, but I am still a beanpole. That's close enough.
Yeah, if you dress like, you know, a little loose, people can imagine that you're actually like Adam Driver underneath.
People can pretend that I'm sinewy and jacked when really I'm like starting to get a little soft around the belly.
It happens. Yeah, you drink enough beer, you don't go to the gym, it catches up to you.
You replace enough beer with Arizona iced tea, you start to look a little bit, you start to get a little bit of a Todd bod. That's an old Kurt Bronneler joke, which is to say, if you saw me naked, I would look just like a 6 foot tall toddler.
Oh, a Todd bod.
Not
no a guy
muscle
named
definition.
Todd. Yeah, yeah.
Big round white belly and I love to poop my pants. Yeah, that's a great, that's an all time joke for tall guys who don't work out everywhere.
Yeah. But so what happened? Ridley Scott said like millennials didn't want to watch his movie because they're too busy on their phone or something.
Yeah, millennials are too busy eating avocado toast at Starbucks.
Yeah.
And so he was on Mark Maron's podcast, which is already how you know he's going to drop like the world's greatest turd opinion.
Yeah, Mark Maron before the show was like, so what's like the worst take you've had lately? I want you to like lay that on me once we start rolling.
Oh, so wait, you said, because this article says that he has two enormous pictures out this year, The Last Duel and House of Gucci. And you said Adam Driver's in the other one, too?
Wait, that's also Ridley Scott, the House of Gucci movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. Yeah, Adam Driver is in that one as well.
So
and
he just
Lady
can't
Gaga.
Stop. He can't stop casting Adam Driver. This guy thinks he's fucking Wes Anderson over here. Yeah. And that Adam Driver is like his Owen Brothers.
Yeah. He's going to like ride Adam Driver all the way to the top.
Adam Driver, I'm sorry, like Bill Murray is overrated, but Adam Driver is not Bill Murray. Like, let's be real, Ridley Scott. You bet on a losing horse.
Yeah, I almost want to see House of Gucci just because of like how insane it looks.
Yeah.
Because you have Lady Gaga And if you, I don't know if you've seen the trailer, she's really not good at doing an Italian accent. Like, she's Italian American, but she's supposed to sound Italian. I don't even know what Adam Driver
sounds
like. She's
supposed to sound Italian, like from Milan or something.
Yeah, yeah. The movie takes place in Italy, as far as I know. Okay. And then there's this incredible clip. Jared Leto is playing, I guess, some guy named Paolo. So he has like a, I mean, yeah, I hate Jared Leto.
The worst.
The worst, incredibly obnoxious, huge asshole. He's wearing like a bald cap and like his skin is made up to look like he's like an old Italian guy. And this little clip someone posted on Twitter, he goes, "It's a me, Paolo. How could you?" He doesn't quite say "it's a me," but he basically says "it's a me," like "it's a me, Mario." Like someone was like, man. "I don't know how to explain this, but his performance in House of Gucci is going to be a better Mario than Chris Pratt's in the Mario movie."
Yeah, I was going to say, is he just trying to like give us what everybody, is he just like one of those cult leader guys who's just tapped into what people secretly do actually want?
Yeah.
And he's just been online and he's like, "I know what the people want. They want a quasi Mario voice because they're not going to fucking get it from the place they want it. So better that I sideload it into this dramatized biopic about fashion industrialists."
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently it's about like, I didn't really know this, but there's someone who like, I think it's Lady Gaga's character who like hires a hitman to like murder her husband. I think trying to like gain control of the Gucci empire or something. So it sounds like a pretty insane story. And honestly, if the whole movie has accents, like "it's a me, Paolo," like I kind of want to watch it. I just want to see what happens because it sounds incredible.
"Oh, belly, belly, beachy. I can't believe Maria, Mario, and Marizzi all violated the sanctity of my family. We used to make the shoes, the jackets, and the dresses. And now all I got is the fucking spaghetti sauce. I got to put it on the fucking IKEA meatballs because that's all I can afford. Like, is that where we're going to be at?"
Oh my God, folks, I'm so sorry. John accidentally edited his self-tape audition for House of Gucci into the episode. We'll try to rectify that when we re-upload the episode, but for now, just bear with us.
I love it, aziti. I go to the Walmart. I get the frozen aziti. That's what a real Italian says, you know.
That's how you talk. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. I just don't know why like Ridley Scott still thinks he's hot shit, right? Like his whole thing was like that he made. I'm not enough of a film guy to really say this, but like, you know, Ridley Scott, known for Alien.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Alien was huge.
Like,
yeah.
A triumph. Mm-hmm. Had all that great H.R. Giger shit in it. And now he's just like crapping out tepid, like dramas about rich people and Game of Thrones ripoffs. And it's hard for me to see like the merit in something like that, where it's like, okay, you made a landmark film and now you're just copying the homework of other like landmark cultural moments.
Yeah. He's very strange because I feel like his career, like, so he did Alien a few years after that, he did Blade Runner, which I personally think is a little overrated, but it's still an incredible movie.
Sure.
He did,
he's still really good. Yeah.
Yeah. He did Gladiator, which was a huge hit. He did Hannibal. I don't know if anyone likes that one. He did Black Hawk Down. But then he's done movies like Kingdom of Heaven and the Russell Crowe Robin Hood. And then he did Prometheus. It's like he oscillates between like a weird flop, like a thing that doesn't really do well and no one knows why he made it. And then he makes something like The Martian, that Matt Damon movie that was like, I think, pretty successful. It's a fine sci-fi movie. He's just like going back and forth constantly between like making a crowd pleaser and making like a head scratcher. I think he just has no idea what people actually want to see is the thing. You know, it's like, it's not like he's a guy who's like been batting 1,000 and then suddenly millennials turned on him. Like, he has put out many terrible movies and many flops.
Well, I just don't understand the inclination to like blame millennials, because it's like, is there just like a demographics guy in his ear who's like, okay, the 28 to 38 year olds are not happy. Some of them count as millennials. Like, that's who didn't see your movie.
Yeah,
because I bet the dads did, right? Like, I bet the dads saw this. This was marketed right to their fucking Facebook feeds. Every dude over 40 listening to this podcast right now is like, "What are you talking about? You didn't hear about The Last Duel? I've been hearing nothing but The Last Duel for months now."
Meanwhile, it's like they heard about it while they were buying their third rapier of the year at the local sword shop.
Yeah.
Someone is like, "You see Last Duel's coming out? It's gonna be pretty good." I don't actually even know if they duel with swords or not, but I'm sure guys who are into swords are into movies like this.
Probably, although I don't know. Like, it could go the other way. Like, guys at the Ren Fair listening to the podcast right now could be like, I don't think I heard anything about the last duel. Was I supposed to hear something about the duels that happened before it? Like,
yeah. Yeah, I figured it's the last duel. I'm not even going to be able to follow it. I'm too high on turkey legs.
Do I need to have seen the other duels before I see the last duel? yeah, I mean, well, speaking of millennial culture and ruining things, mm-hmm. let's talk about a landmark album that was released by System of a Down mm-hmm. when I was in school. I don't remember what year it was. It doesn't matter. It's called Steal This Album.
Oh, yeah.
And it proposed a bold new praxis for music consumers, which was to either physically or digitally get the album for free through not exactly legal means.
Mm-hmm.
And now
legally
we have
gray areas.
Gray areas, if you will, Napster mm-hmm. or LimeWire or yeah. moral no-fly zones.
Sure.
Such legal no-fly zones, such as the five-finger discount.
Yeah.
But Serge Tankian has just released a banger tweet where he says, "Surprise, everyone. I am very excited to share this news with you. These mergers of art, music, digital paintings, and animation came out better than my highest expectations. Thank you at Rolling Stone for the premiere. More soon." Then he links the Rolling Stone article. Hashtag digital art. Hashtag NFT. Hashtag NFT artist. Ooh. And so what we have now is a guy who once inspired me to steal as much shit as I possibly could, to do the audio equivalent of right-click save as on every album I never wanted to pay for but did want to hear. And now he is making an art exhibition online called Not For Touching, The Intangible Composition, which is 21 pieces. And it's an interactive gallery of fucking NFTs. It's going to be like, you know, it's not going to be monkeys. Surge is cooler than that. It's going to be like spacescapes and like clocks and like, you know, it's basically like you put together like a real abstract Adobe Premiere session.
Uh-huh.
And like, let's get some cool B-roll in here and like screen it together. It's that.
Yeah. It's definitely not surprising that so many celebrities and, you know, rich celebrity artists have hopped on the trend of like selling NFTs of their music or of their drawings or whatever the fuck. But it's definitely a bummer when it's like anyone who, you know, even within the confines of the mainstream music industry mm-hmm. made something like that was like, hey, steal this. That had any kind of like message that resonated with you and is now just like, hey, someone told me I could make a lot of Ethereum if I do this. So I'm going to try it out.
And but I mean, these are the cool guys, right? Like, these are the yeah. guys who I'm supposed to be able to still like from high school up to now, where I'm supposed to be able to say, like, oh, you know, it's a System of a Down situation where the band is good and the fans are bad. And then you have the drummer, like, turning full Trumper dude who's like, Trump is better for Armenians than any other president. And now Serge Tankian is doing NFTs. And it's like, goddamn, is the only guy who was cool during high school that is still cool now, like Tom Morello, not even one of the coolest of the cool guys.
Just like stayed sort of cheesy, but has good politics. So you got to respect him.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. Is a huge cheese ball to this very day and can be extremely cringe and stupid, mm-hmm. but like hasn't completely like ideologically debased himself before capital yet.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? You know what's a cool way to use existing technology to release like an art exhibit music thing? Is do what Radiohead did and put out a PS5 like free to play thing. Yeah. They made this thing for Kid A Amnesia, that new like double it's like a compilation of like unreleased stuff, I think, from like, those sessions. And it's sort of a game, but it's more of like a virtual gallery where you can like walk through what looks like an art museum space. And as you walk, the song is playing like different parts of it. And so as you like, you can move around and like kind of mix it and like hear different parts of the song. And then sometimes a new song starts playing and there's like little, the like guy with a smile from Radiohead covers. Mm-hmm. They're just like little creatures there. It's really cool.
That's cool as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that pains me. That pains me how cool that is. I was also going to bring up Radiohead, but a different release when they did that, Was it in Rainbows or was it the King of Limbs where everything was like pay what you want on MySpace or Bandcamp or something?
Yeah, yeah. That was like the first time that I think that like a big band just put out their record for free, basically.
Yeah.
I think there are like other bands had, who are like smaller had done it before that, but that was the first time that it sort of hit the mainstream that a band was like, we'll put it out on CD and like, you know, for sale, but also you can just pay us whatever you want, including nothing, and then have it.
God damn, I really don't like Radiohead. I really, the music just falls flat on me. I really find it grating, and it instigates conversations with people I don't want to talk to. But I got to give credit where credit is due. I was impressed when they did it within Rainbows, and I'm impressed again when they do it now. When you're a huge ass band like that, you could be doing any number of stupid ass things, retreating into NFTs, trying to sue entire sections of the music industry like Metallica and many other bands have tried to do. Or you could just be like a fucking badass and embrace it. I got to give it up for Yorkie and Greenwood. And, you know, I'm sure there are other people in that band. no one ever talks about them.
yeah, they're not Tom York.
I mean, the only thing people ever say to me about Radiohead, because I'm like, I don't like Radiohead. And they're like, Johnny Greenwood is good. and I'm like, okay, fine. sure, I believe you.
I mean, there's like a lot of good people who are good at playing their music that I don't listen to. You know, it makes sense. You seem like someone who would like not be a Radiohead guy. I don't quite know why, but it just the vibe is all, it's all off. Zigs where you zag.
It zigs where I zag. Where everyone was going for Radiohead, I feel like I made a left turn and I was like, I'm a Beck guy.
Yeah.
And he won a Grammy, so you can all fuck yourselves. I was right.
Beck is great too.
Grammys are worthless, but Beck is really great. He's one of the best.
Beck rules.
He really does. I've been a fan since I was Radiohead age, you know, since that shit would have had a chance to resonate with me. Because I feel like that's the other thing about I was going to exit the Radiohead topic. Now I'm deeper in it than ever. Here's the thing about Radiohead is I feel like it has to catch you at the right time. You have to be like susceptible to it.
Like around high school age is definitely, because I think that's the first time I heard OK Computer, and maybe like at 19, I first heard Kid A, and like definitely you're like, wow, this is really cool. It's experimental. It's interesting. Like after a certain age, if you're like, if you're in your late 20s and that's the first time you hear Radiohead, I don't know if it's going to work.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was just a wrong time for me to try to get into it, because I think a lot of people were really impressed with Radiohead. They're like, oh wow, beep boops and insane computer noises and shit can be emotional too.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can be like really heartfelt and have like, you know, these huge like cascading climaxes of songwriting. And at that time I was just like, I don't care about any of that. I want Machine to go brrr, you know. I want to listen to Aphex Twin like just crank fucking knobs. I was like the thrash metal fan, the tech metal fan equivalent of someone who was into electronic music. I was like, what is this sappy crap? I don't give a shit about this, and I still don't. As a real, you know, as an adult now, I can give it up for Radiohead. I understand, absolutely understand why people love them as much as they do.
For sure,
it's just not for me, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's not for you, John. He didn't make it for you.
He didn't make it for you, John. You should have known that as soon as you looked at the album cover. Do you see a wizard on there, John? Why don't you just move along already?
Like, yeah, is there anything that could be a metaphor for a cloud of weed smoke out of a bong? No, nothing close to that is even here. No one's wearing a cloak. Come on. Put on a Sun record, maybe.
That's probably what it comes down to, is like, I believe that the guys in Radiohead have and do smoke weed.
Oh, yeah.
But like, I also believe with every fiber of my being that Tom York takes a couple of like baby hits off a pre-roll and is like, oh man, that is strong. I'm going to be good for days now, you know, just like a huge child.
He does that and then he just like dozes off trying to write lyrics on the couch on a legal pad or something.
My heart is in binary. Oh, that's good. Binary.
That's really good.
I will stay. He's just falling asleep. Mm. He's watching MASH. Tom York is my dad. That's why I hate him.
It's all becoming so clear.
I'd like to hear the Radiohead cover of the MASH theme, and then I'll give it up for him. You know,
we'll
Weezer. Yeah. I hated Weezer for years, and then they covered Africa by Toto, and now Now I tolerate Weezer.
That is a good cover. Yeah. Yeah, Weezer is like a band. I mean, like they're good stuff. Like, what is it? The Green Album, I guess people like. Like their good stuff is fun. But then they have like continued to put out music to this day, and I feel like basically most of it, other than that covers record, is like pure dog shit. To the point where it seems like they're doing a joke or something, like some kind of elaborate prank where they're like, "What if we put out shitty music and see what people, how people react or something?" I don't really know.
I mean, like they used to be kind of like post rocky, like kind of more Pixies influenced than they are now. Yeah. And now it's just turned into like a really bad imitation of like the Cars, kind of like stripped down simple ass rock with a good groove. But that good groove is just missing in 90% of the songs I've ever heard. Like, I'll give it up for Hashpipe. That's a sick song. Mm-hmm. And it's about weed, so bonus points. But, like,
they got good songs.
That's the only, like, Weezer song I can think of that I like.
Yeah. I mean, Sweater Song is a classic. They got some good ones.
Right. Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, it's like they're a band that has coasted on, you know, their early successes for a long time, I think.
Oh my God. And like, how many years did I have to suffer through Beverly Hills? I mean, not that Pat Finnerty hasn't already talked about this at length better than I ever could, but like, how many years did we all have to listen to boof, boof, clap, boof, boof, clap, boof, boof? Like, fucking boring.
it's like a fine song a few times, but yeah, that song was definitely overplayed.
Yeah. I mean, it's trying to capture that, like, I don't know, high school auditorium energy. And yeah. I don't know why you would want to capture that kind of energy. That's not good energy. There's never been a song that was like enhanced by being played over the loudspeakers at a high school auditorium. Like Thunderstruck is a good song, but just from the sheer number of times it's been played at a basketball game, it is now a bad song.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess to sum that up, Serge Tankian, you have made a terrible move and you have made an enemy of me.
You've made an enemy for life.
That's right. It's on site, Serge Tankian. As soon as I see your NFT, I'm right clicking it.
It is very sad. Like, I wonder how many celebrities or musicians or something who were like kind of on the fringes of fame almost are getting like scammed or something into turning stuff into NFTs. Like, are there people who are like whispering in their ear and promising like tons of success and value and profits for them if they put something out as an NFT? Like,
I think a lot of them are just, you know, they're creatives who like broke through in an industry. They were just normal people before, and they hired their like probably college age nephew to be their manager or help them, you know, be their social media consultant or whatever. And eventually some kid who's just like completely addled by like the Elon Musk YouTube rabbit hole has just like been pestering him for years. You got to do these NFTs. You got to do crypto. You got to do Ethereum. And after a while, you're just like, okay, man, I'm not paying my mortgage the way that I used to when there was still like a relevant wave of nu metal to carry my band into the popular consciousness.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll do the NFTs. And then you have to make a post where you seem excited about it, because you can't half do things.
I guess it's hard. Mostly probably like the worst that can happen is they like don't make that much money, but I'm sure for a lot of artists it's just like a way to make a quick buck, a way to like ride a trend and like get people interested in your stuff because you fucking slapped an NFT on it or whatever.
Well,
it's stupid.
It probably feels more dignified to them than making a Cameo account or something like that. And like wishing, like, this is Serge Tankian wishing you a happy 45th birthday. And like, then everyone's like, oh my God, the System of a Down fans have gotten old. Like, this is a little more dignified than that, I guess. If you don't know what it is, if it just feels like a gamble, but if you know what it is, I would almost rather see you on Cameo.
Just go on Cameo, do an honest, like, I mean, it's like, Cameo is great if you want to be a lazy celebrity, because you just open your phone and record yourself saying something and charge way too much money for it. But yeah, I'm sure you're right. Like the allure of like a shiny technology, they're like, I don't want to debase myself and have to like record a video for $20 a pop or $50 or whatever.
Right.
I want to have an NFT. I want something shiny with a computer code and the Matrix and stuff.
But I feel like Serge Tankian, he'd be perfect for Cameo, right? Because he could just do one of those rants where he's you know, where I don't remember the tweet, but it's like, you know, every System of a Down song is like normal lyrics, and then it's just him saying like, in 1985 the U.S. government rounded up, like, you know, just
like, yeah, it's like reading the Wikipedia about Japanese internment camps at 150
yeah,
BPM.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, if he just really, I don't know, I feel like Jello Biafra and Henry Rollins is like impassioned speaking careers were wasted on them when we could have had like Serge Tankian lectures you for an hour and 15 minutes and it would have been really fucking enjoyable.
Yeah, that's not, now I'm thinking about that, that'd be great if you could just like turn your like, because I mean a lot of times leftist memes basically devolve into like a huge wall of text that they've like plastered onto an existing meme format, so like just let that text breathe and have Serge Tankian read it out for you in his backyard.
Yes, yes. We got a double header for you tonight, folks. Thank you so much for coming out to the impassioned speech event here at the at the Superdome. Tonight, it's Serge Tankian reciting all his greatest hits from melodic interludes in System of a Down songs, followed up by a Yellow Parenti compilation. I mean, honestly, I'd go to that.
Yeah,
like,
that'd
that sounds
be fun.
Like more fun than like, everyone's like, hey, man, come out and see this. What was the thing someone was trying to get me to come out and see? It honestly sounded pretty tight. It was Mac Sabbath.
Okay.
My buddy was like, come out and see Mac Sabbath with me. It's a McDonald's themed Black Sabbath cover band.
Wow. That sounds like, quite an experience.
Yeah. He's like, they dress up like Ronald and the Hamburglar and Grimace and shit. And they do the whole, you know, the whole nine yards. And I'm like,
why does that exist?
Wow. Yeah.
That's weird. I'm like, because obviously like cover bands are a thing and they try to like kind of ape the band as much as possible. But like, tossing in another angle of McDonald's is just like a real wild card situation.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, what was that? There was that like all Ned Flanders metal band for
a
while.
Yeah, that I kind of remember. That was like a fun gimmick.
Yeah, that was a fun gimmick.
Like early internet days. I don't know when it first started. There was this thing, which I think was just like a mashup band. I don't think they were actual mashups. It was this thing called Beatallica, where they would play covers of Beatles songs that were also Metallica songs, or like I don't quite know if it was like a Beatles song in the style of Metallica. It was kind of just like a melding of both. Like it would be like there's like a Metallica song that's like the thing that should not be, and so it was like Let It Be the thing that should not be, and they just kind of like combined elements of both songs. It was really strange. I don't really know how much it holds up.
Yeah. Fortune fade, mirror line in an octopus's garden under the sea.
Basically, I don't know. Like, that's what it was like from my memory. I don't know how it holds up now. But the internet used to be great for finding really weird shit like that. And you're like, why did someone make this? This is on like a really shitty website. Like, it's not like it's that famous or anything.
I can't get over that. Like... Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where the waiter like it's just, that's just a Jack Black bit. That's not even anything other than that. Like
yeah, it's basically being Jack Black in School of Rock. That's the bit.
Also, like how pathetic do you have to be to still be really into Metallica and the Beatles? No, I'll give you one. Either one, if you're a big fan of that, that's fine. It's okay. I'm still really into Led Zeppelin. You know, mock me all you want. But both?
Led Zeppelin fucking rules.
Both? Metallica and the Beatles? Come on, buddy. Grow up. You know, like...
Yeah. No, that's definitely, like, way past its time. Wow, it says... The Wikipedia says they... It says is a mashup band, so they might still exist? I don't know. They got
is
a whole Wikipedia.
A mashup band.
Yeah. Wow. They put out an album this year called The Devolver. Or The Devolver album. 2013 we had Abbey Load.
Yeah. Abbey Load. Oh. Yeah. yeah. And Rubber Soul for All.
Yeah. Man, they're still doing it. That is
Well,
insane.
I guess that's all just a play on like the White Album and the Black Album. Right.
Yeah.
It's like that the DJ was it Danger Mouse or someone
Danger Mouse. Yeah, the Jay-Z Black Album and the Beatles White Album mashup.
Right.
Yeah, everyone's just interested in mashing things up. It's definitely another step to like actually form a band and like play mashup songs rather than just like combining two songs in a DAW.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
I'd save time and just go Neil Ciciega, Bill McClintock, DJ Cummerbund style on it. But like
that's
to put together
saved.
The band and be like, okay, we're going to learn the riffs from Load And then we're going to learn the lyrics from Abbey Road.
And they're going to combine. And it should be a little tongue-in-cheek, but also kind of like we're a real band. So make sure you practice and like stay in time and shit. Yeah. Very funny. I thought they maybe put out like two albums or something as a novelty. I didn't know they like have been a band for like almost two decades or more than like at least a decade.
I mean, they're probably like a big deal in whatever town they're from. They're probably like the number one rated band in Boise.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, speaking of being the number one rated thing, the last thing we wanted to talk about is the ever-present pandemic. Everyone's been rushing to have their takes about this new Omicron variant, not least of all Lur, the emperor of Omicron, Percy I 8, who is here to destroy all humans.
Yeah, I didn't even like immediately recognize. I was like, that's something from Transformers, right? Like I didn't even really watch Transformers as a kid, and it's just like that's all I can think of. Like maybe just every kind of name you could think of is like also shared by some dumb cartoon property. But
I mean, someone was saying on Twitter, they're like, hey, can we get this COVID thing under wraps? I don't want to have to learn the whole Greek alphabet.
Yeah. They're also like jumping around. Like, isn't Omicron in the middle? Like, we didn't really start with Alpha variant.
Yeah. Alpha what was the other one? And Omega is at the end.
Yeah.
To me, the fact that Zeta's not at the end is already messing with my terminal American brain.
It's fucked up.
I mean, what's next? Catherine Omicron Jones? I
don't know. Yeah. Courtney Cox Omicron.
So I mean, like, what's the deal with the Omicron variant? Because everyone's like losing their minds about it and saying like it came from South Africa, but it was just discovered there, right? Like it's another Spanish flu kind of situation where it's like they were just the first ones to tell us about it.
I think so. Yeah. That was like the first people who like found it or like sequenced it or something.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't really know how what to feel about it, because like whenever, what was the last, was it the Delta variant? My brain was like, no, that's Delta 9 weed that you're thinking of, not the Delta variant. But yeah, it was like that one was a big trend, and it feels like it hasn't been that bad. I don't know. And then this one, they say the symptoms are really mild, but also it made like the stock market tumble. I don't know. It feels like we're just like in this perpetual nightmare where there's constantly some new variant, and it's like, what's going to happen? Do you need a third mask? Do you need another kind of booster? Is this going to like raise pharmaceutical company stocks? Who knows?
Well, I mean, a lot of people are saying like, oh, they keep coming up with new variants. And I'm like, no, man, like the virus comes up with new variants. That's what they do.
Like, that's all they can do. Yeah.
Yeah. What happens when things go viral? They get permutated. Like, you ever had a meme go viral? It doesn't come back to you the same way it left. When I made that Waluigi knows you're high at work meme, it came back to me in the form of seeing someone post it, a screen cap of a text from their boss, and it was like, why did my boss send me this meme? And it's like, okay, now we're cooking with gas. Like,
that was the Omicron variant of your meme. It's like more, it's not quite as potent, but it's more catchy. Like the symptoms,
that's right.
It's not going to make you laugh as hard, but it's gonna spread around even more.
It can spread faster, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And someone thinks it came from South Africa, even though that's not where you live. It gets lost in translation.
I think Twitter posters can learn a lot from epidemiology.
More like they should be learning from Twitter. Like, if they had understood how memes spread, maybe this shit wouldn't have spread so far. Yeah. If they'd been like, we want this to be more of a Damn Daniel situation and not a, you know, a meme that is so one note that it dies out because no one really cares about making it go viral. Maybe like a pondering my orb scenario where there's like no joke, so it peters out.
I can't even handle pondering orbs anymore.
It's one of the worst.
I used to ponder orbs, and now everyone's pondering orbs. I see an orb, I kick it to the curb. I don't need that. I can live without.
It's one of the worst memes in a while, because it's not like there's one joke. There's zero jokes. It's just describing a picture from a D&D cover. I could do that all day. It's not a meme.
Well, and it's disrespectful to like dumb nerds like me who have spent a lot of their life looking at photos of wizard, you know, illustrations of wizards pondering orbs and been like, damn, wish that was me. And now everyone's like, ha ha, me and who? Me and whose orb? Shut up. You're taking a real dream away from people who really want it, and you're turning it into a joke.
Our culture is not your costume, you fucking asshole. It's not your goddamn meme.
Give the orbs back to the sweaty nerds, I swear to God.
Yeah.
But that's really what it is. I mean, that and the bus meme, that's like all we got right now, right? Like, guys on a bus. And isn't that just like Like, there's a whole Facebook group for this that you can just tag where it just says, this is Indian WhatsApp content. And it's just stuff like from, you know, the Indian WhatsApp meme verse that mm-hmm. like people's uncles and dads and shit are sending back and forth.
It does kind of have that vibe. Like, often like memes from foreign countries have this weird, like, I don't understand where the drawing came from or why anyone like thought it was funny enough to share.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Yeah, yeah, and it got picked up by like one random Christian aunt in Iowa. Mm-hmm. And now it's all over. You know, it got stuck into a chain email, and it was like, the guy on the left who sat on the bus represents boomers who saved for decades. The guy on the right who's happy represents a millennial who spent all his money on avocado breads.
Yeah, it's just so annoying because this is just like variant 100 of the Drake meme. Like, there's yes. just so many memes that are like good thing and bad thing. I mean, at least I guess it's better than memes that are just like the one where Rick is ripping off the wallpaper and then showing you something. And it's like, that's just a tweet. That meme is just, yeah. here's some text, but
yeah.
good thing, bad thing is really not much better. And yeah, it's just that people are like, ooh, I can slap my opinion onto this new meme. And everyone's like, oh, that meme is still fresh enough to like make some spark happen in my brain. And so I want to share it.
I made you the crying Wojak. I made you the sad man on the left side of the bus. Not me. I'm the happy man with the camera phone on the right side of the bus.
I'm Drake pointing, not Drake putting up his palm in disgust. I'm Drake pointing. He's pointing to me.
Yeah. I mean, that really is, isn't it? I've said it before, but like, that's why the greatest meme is just Lord Farquaad pointing and it just says E.
Yeah.
Because it's identification. That's all memes are anymore, is identifications of things. But the Lord Farquaad meme is it's a non-identification, uh-huh. right? It's an identification without an identified. And
we
and
love a pictographic language.
That is a great, great meme.
I love having the characters of my alphabet reduced to hieroglyphs by teenagers.
Yeah, linking the entire mental universe together with pictures of from Shrek.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's really where we need to be at. Like, you know, when Elon posts something about some fucking cryptocurrency, you should be like, what are you doing in my Discord? That'll finally fuck that fucker off.
That'll show him.
The best telepathy possible. Yeah.
He'll be rocked for days by the image of Shrek.
I hope one day we all get to mind meld, because I'm strong as fuck. And I'll get that muskrat's ass.
Yeah, he would crumple like a wet paper towel under the force of our minds.
It's just a low res photo of me, and it's like, this is the final boss after you mind meld with everyone else. Ridley Scott's millennial mind meld.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he should make a movie about that it's like all the millennials who were too busy on their cell phones to watch his movie, and he mind meld with them, and then it's like a horrific nightmare for him and for them. They're like, man, this guy's kind of a loser.
Yeah, well, or like, what about like a battle royale for the eventual singularity mind meld, right? Like a guy like in 2050, right? And he's like, it's probably 40 or 50 years till the singularity. I gotta train my brain to be the ultimate entity, so when we all you know, mind meld, I can assert dominance. And then lo and behold, despite his 90 straight years of academic rigor and discipline, a savant 3-year-old overthrows and takes over the whole hive mind. So now you have like a super sentient spacefaring civilization that's all just one big brain, and it's like, I want chicken nugget.
Like, I want tendy.
Give me Tendo.
Play Baby Shark again.
No bedtime. Yeah. Yeah, just a Dyson sphere just sucking energy out of the sun to blast Baby Shark off into the cosmos like some kind of beacon to other civilization.
Yeah, that's Franklin Richards, isn't it? That's the Fantastic Four kid.
Oh, yeah. The child becomes like super sentient.
He's like,
or
I can open fucking portals to other dimensions so that I can, you know, watch Peppa Pig get her teeth drilled in 4K. Yeah.
So I can watch YouTube poops of Spider-Man and farm animals. I mean, that's the thing. Everyone's like, oh, the kids today, they're seeing so much disturbing content. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I think I'd rather watch like Spider-Man stand on his head and break all his bones and sing Baby Shark than like watch, you know, beheading videos on Live Leak in 2006.
Yeah, kids today are too soft. They want a participation trophy for watching the Joker jump on Elsa's stomach and have make her have an abortion. Yeah, kids watch today real wanna... snuff videos like an adult.
Yeah, we need to traumatize the kids a little bit more, you know? Get their 2 a.m. rotation of videos a little bit more horrific.
Yeah, no one watches Faces of Death anymore. They're too busy on their damn phones.
These kids wouldn't know a goddamn FIAD poster if they saw one.
I mean, neither would I. I've never seen them in person, but no. You wouldn't even know their avatar.
Yeah.
FIAD posters in person are, again, just 3-year-olds with smartphones walking around like, I need chicken nuggie.
Did you hear Lotax died? Did you guys talk about that?
Yeah, no, did. I didn't talk about that.
I thought we did. Did we not talk about it on the episode?
Oh, did we? I think we might have.
Like, I think we brushed on it. I don't remember.
Yeah. Get back to me when Moot dies.
That'll be a sad
then I'll
day.
Know we're playing a game we can get behind. I mean, no, like Lotax, he was a pretty reprehensible guy, right? Like,
that's
not to
true.
Wish death yeah. on anybody, yeah, yeah. but like, you know, fuck him.
Yeah. Really important guy. Also an asshole. Usually yeah. how it goes.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know this, but Lotax was, he was the real life Iron Man. suit and everything. Power reactors. He could move stuff at a distance with his fancy gloves. He used that for what? You know,
making a website. Yeah, what a
to
waste.
To post horrible shit on the internet and then ban hentai.
asshole.
I mean, isn't that the fun? Like the downfall of every website is they just ban one or another form of porn, right? Mm-hmm. They're
yeah.
like, you're,
yeah.
you're not allowed to post a boobie anymore. And everyone's like, well, done with this one. I'm out.
Fuck you.
It is going to be weird because like Tumblr banned porn and then that made there be a little more porn on Twitter. So if Twitter bans porn, all hell is going to break loose. Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
Oh my God. I mean, not that I want Twitter to ban porn because then it's going to end up in my Facebook feed. But like, the thing is like, people are like way too horny on Twitter. I don't mind like a horny post, a horny joke, like, you know, throw some horny in your humor. It's funny. It's
sure,
a good
yeah.
time. But like, I've said it before, like sub 1,000 account follow, you know, sub 1,000 follower accounts that I followed back because they followed me and I liked their profile picture. It was from a show I thought was funny or something.
Yeah. yeah.
And
big mistake.
They're in people's replies and they're like, sit on my face. And I'm like, whoa, buddy. You know, other people see when you reply to stuff on this website. Like, you need to get a burner account where you don't follow your favorite low tier entertainers. We don't want to see your fetish content.
Yeah, yeah. Just do that in a separate, like, that's like inviting someone over to your house and just like, you have like a porn movie playing. And it's like, it's fine if you want to watch that. Like, have it around. I don't really care. But like, don't just like have Penthouse open when I come over. Don't have like a Bang Bros movie playing on your TV. Have a little decorum.
That's a power move. Is it just
be.
Like have porn on your main television with like your sub-bass 5.1 speakers? Just like low, not loud, not but just playing.
Yeah, just you got to use the sub because otherwise, you know, it's for the audio fidelity.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't need
really
to be loud.
It.
It just needs to be a well-rounded mix.
You don't want to hear all tinny moans. You don't hear the bed squeaking all you know, all mids, no bass.
guy who walks in on you watching porn and he's just like, what are you listening to that on? Huh? Sounds like a fucking phone speaker. Huh? sounds like it was badly converted through VLC a couple of times. Huh? What do you got? Your audio track isn't even synced up. Let me get in there. What's that?
Let me help
what
you out.
What codec are you using?
Wave. Come on. This is a waste. Yeah, you don't need Wave for these. You should
get out of my room.
Downsample it a little bit. It'll sound way better. It'll be a smoother stream.
You know, if you plug that computer into the wall, you get a lot better speeds. You won't have to wait for the buffering like that. You listen, they're like, it's like, and you gotta watch the little thing spin in the
completely,
middle. It's not
completely
a good time,
takes
but.
You out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Destroys the immersion. Destroys it.
How am I supposed to concentrate on anything in here?
And would you stay on one video? Clicking around like you got a million channels. Just pick what you want. It's the internet.
Simpsons, Family Guy. You're going back and forth. Just pick the Simpsons one. We know that's what you're going to bust to. Come on.
What is this? Rule34.eu?
That's not a bad one. I use that sometimes when your mom's out of town.
Dad, I don't want to know that.
This bit has gone completely off the rails.
It's turning into Eugene Levy trying to help his son masturbate.
A classic film.
Yeah.
Classic. classic plot device.
Right, I showed up and threw everything off the rails. I'm sorry. Where were you?
Yeah, no, it's all good. Thank you for dropping in at the last minute and supercharging the bit. yeah, we were going to wrap up, but we wanted to do an extra 15 minutes since we had Bryn here for a second.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you all for listening to this episode of Beep Beep Lettuce. I hope to get to tell more porno jokes on this podcast in the future. you can support us on Patreon if you don't already. Hop in the Discord if you're not already, and listen to our other shows, Work Stoppage and Generation Loss, and I think that's it.
So far.
Yeah.
So far. Until I start a new one.
Yeah, maybe you can't stop me.
Try and fucking stop me.
This show's about poker.
Oh, hell anyway, yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
I also just wanted to say, sorry for being AWOL without any comment on it. I've been extremely busy and might be on the show less for the foreseeable future, but I will be around. I will do the show when I can, and I still love you. Don't be mad at me.
That's right. Dear listener, during those times when there was only one set of footprints in the sand, that was when Bryn was at band practice or otherwise busy with her life.
That is when I was very high and couldn't pay attention to you.
That's right. Yeah, when there was one set of footprints in the sand, man, I was couch locked. I'm sorry about that.
I couldn't make it.
No, those are your footprints, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know. Could a person have two sets of footprints? Maybe, like, what if you walked and then you like walked again? I don't know, man. I'm still kind of couch locked, to be honest. But I'll be there tomorrow at the beach. I promise.
They're going two different directions. Are you sure you didn't just go and come back?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know what you did exactly, but yeah, I don't. It wasn't me. I definitely was not there. My bad on that one. But yeah, soon. As soon as I'm switching strains. I think it's a different strain, so I can make it to the beach.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, our bad, everyone. Please have your footprints spayed and neutered, and keep beeping out there.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.